Okay, I'll call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order and let the record reflect that time is currently 9:07 a.m. on Friday, May 10th, 2024. Present today, we've got Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Kronk, Representative Ortiz, Representative Glome, myself, Co-Chair Foster, and also Representative Stapp. And just a reminder, folks can mute their cell phones. So the plan today is we'll continue on with Senate Bill 104, that Civil Legal Services Fund. And if it's the will of the committee, we'll move that bill. I think we left off with needing to go over a fiscal note and then open it up to questions. And from there, we will go to HB 223, that's tax and royalty for certain gas. We had two technical amendments, so we'll consider those. And then also, if it's the will of the committee, we'll move that bill. Also, I believe we have a hard stop at 10 a.m., so that gives us just under an hour. And from there, we'll go to HB 400. That's the Correspondence Study Programs and Allotments. We'll take public testimony, review the fiscal note, set amendment deadline. We won't get to our entire entire agenda this morning, but as usual, we'll come back later after 4. So I guess I'll just take up the short version of all of this, and that is after that, Senate Bill 205, AHFC authority to acquire a building, Senate Bill 170, extend senior benefits, and SB 151, which is missing murdered indigenous people reports. Then after that, I've got a note here as we move through bills. If members would like to discuss whether certain bills won't require a second meeting for amendments, please feel free to bring that up. Some bills are more complicated than others, and some are less complicated. So if there's a way we can move through some of them quickly, and the committee feels comfortable with that, then we can go in that direction. So again, we'll just leave or pick up where we left off, and that was Senate Bill 104, Civil Legal Services Fund. And if we could get a brief recap from the sponsor, Senator Dunbar, thanks for joining us today. And we'll jump into the fiscal note after that recap. So Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for hearing this bill. We'll be very brief this morning. I know you're very busy. This bill increases funding from certain legal fees collected by the court system. Currently, it's set to 10%. This would increase it to 25% to increase funding for, again, the Alaska Legal Services Corporation that provides free legal services to a variety of low-income folks and is the number one provider of legal services to survivors of domestic violence in our state. And we've got the director here if there are further questions.
Great. Thank you. And when you say director...
We have the director of Alaska Legal Services.
Ah.
Hopefully there's also someone from CEDC to speak to the fiscal note.
Yes, and we've got Nicole Thom, or Thom. If we could have you put yourself on the record, looks like you're in Anchorage. If you could just state your name, your position, and walk us through the fiscal note for SB 104.
Good morning, Chair Foster, members of the committee. This is Nicole Thom. I'm the operations manager for the Division of Community and Regional Affairs in Anchorage. And I just want to verify we're looking at OMB component number 2879.
2879, and is that dated February 16?
I believe the version I'm looking at is dated April 18th. Oh, excuse me, yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
So basically, the fiscal note just reflects the increase from the 10% to 25% that could be appropriated through the Civil Legal Services Fund, and then the Department of Insurance Legal Services Corporation.
Oh, sorry, we might be losing you a little bit. Can you repeat that last part?
Yes. The fiscal note simply reflects the increase from 10% to 25% that could be appropriated to the Civil Legal Services Fund and then passed through the Department as a grant to the Alaska Legal Services Corporation.
Okay, thank you. And so with that, we'll go. Well, first of all, I just want to mention we also have with us co-chairs Representative Edgman and Representative Johnson. And so we'll open it up to questions. Do we have any questions of the committee? Representative Tomaszewski.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair Foster, through the chair. So where would this money be going if it wasn't coming over to the legal fund?
Senator Dunbar?
I believe it would go to the general fund, but I'm not sure the exact – it doesn't go to the court system. I know that much. Perhaps the director could speak to it. I'm sorry, the person from the department.
Ms. Nicole Thome?
Through the chair, my understanding is that the amount, whatever amount would be appropriated through the grant, would be what would be passed through the department. So, would defer to that or any other funding would be directed.
And Representative Tomaszewski,
I couldn't understand. Are you off mic? Could you speak into the microphone a little better?
Ms. Nicole Femme?
Apologies. Is this better? Can you hear me?
Maybe if you can get a little bit closer to the mic.
Apologies for the audio interruption. Could you please repeat the question?
So through the chair, Representative Tomaszewski here. So I'm just wondering the 15% that would now be in addition to what is being directed to the legal fund. Where would that money go if it, where was it going prior? What was it designated for something else? Is it taking away from some other program? Does it go to the general fund? Where did that money go prior to this bill here?
Through the chair to Representative Tomaszewski, I think that's a question for the court.
I don't see Ms. Nancy Mead here, but we do have.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Let's go to Representative Josephson.
I think it was yesterday or the day before, Andy Josephson, for the record. Ms. Mead answered that question and said it would go to the general fund. In fact, she said we would do whatever we want to with it. That's right. What she said. Right.
Thank you. Any other Representative Cologne?
I had a question for the director. Or maybe, okay. I don't know if the sponsor read it. Maybe the director.
Let's just make sure with Representative Tomaszewski, is that a... Okay, thank you. Okay, if we could have the director come up. And if you could just put yourself on the record again.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Maggie Hum. I'm the Executive Director of Alaska Legal Services.
Representative Klum.
Thank you. Through the chair, I just had a short question. Is the financial statements of Alaska Legal Services publicly available?
Yes, they should be.
Through the chair.
Follow up.
Should be like on a website or a request.
Ms. Hum.
Through the chair to Representative Colom is a nonprofit. We have requirements about making our financial statements publicly available. I can't confirm that they're on our website, but I could confirm that after the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. Provide that information. Yeah.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Okay. Do we have any further questions of the committee? Okay, well, seeing none, before I entertain a motion, any comments, Senator Dunbar?
No, Mr. Chair, thank you very much for hearing this bill. I know you guys are pressed for time.
Okay. So with that, I would entertain a motion, Representative Johnson.
I move Senate Bill 104, LS. -0605/A out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay. Seeing no objection, Senate Bill 104, which is LS0605/A, moves out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Thank you very much, Senator Dunbar. Ms. Hope.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Thome, online. So next up, we will sign the committee report, and then we're also going to jump right into House Bill 223, that's tax and royalty for certain gas. We have a committee substitute for the bill because we had a number of amendments that we've incorporated into a clean version of the bill. So we also have two amendments. They're technical amendments. Those were requested by Legislative Legal to provide clarity on the actions we took while amending the bill, and namely, I think that would refer to the... we had removed the oil and then put it back in. I think that's, so we'll get that clarity in the cleaned up version of the bill. So with that, Co-Chair Johnson, can I have a motion to adopt the CS, which incorporates the amendments that were adopted? Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the House Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for House Bill 223 work draft 33-LS0886/H as our working document.
Okay, thank you, and I'll object for the purposes of an explanation. And I'd like to ask my staff, Mr. Brody Anderson, if you could come up to the table and put yourself on the record and explain the new CS.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Neil Foster. Committee members, the CS before you designated 33-LS0886/H is the incorporation of all the amendments that were passed on May 2nd, including the incorporation with conforming changes that were authorized by Legislative Legal. In the process of their drafting of the amendments, there were two points that came up that Legal felt that they needed better clarification on the intent of, or making sure that the intention of the committee to those amendments were taken up properly. And so they have submitted and requested that the committee entertain two amendments to clarify those points.
Mr. Anderson, do you have a brief summary of the amendments that we adopted and that were incorporated into the CS?
Mr.
Chairman. And if not, we can maybe have Ledge Legal provide that.
I do have the committee packet with what was passed and what wasn't. To try to briefly summarize, I could walk through amendment number one offered by Representative Stapp, passed including what would be Middle Earth designation to the bill. Amendment three, offered by Representative Josephson, was amended, offering the portion of changing the royalty down to 3%, and then also was conceptually amended for a 10-year sunset, which is one of the amendments that we'll need to clarify today. Amendment number four by Representative Colom also passed, that one also was in relation to the royalty, which is now 3%. Amendment number 10 by Representative Josephson passed by unanimous decision to include by the lessee. Amendment number 11 by Representative Colom passed, but there was a deletion, a conceptual amendment to delete a portion of that amendment, which is also one of the amendments that we'll need to take up today for clarification of the intent. Amendment number 12 by Representative Colom passed, deleting the word economically. And then finally, Amendment 13 by Representative Stapp, which was also conceptually amended, discussing, that one's a little bit more complicated, but it does deal with Middle Earth and the discounted royalty. And then finally, Amendment number 15, by Representative Josephson added reserve-based lending to the bill as well. Mr. Chairman, those were the amendments that passed on that day.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Anderson, I just want to reach out to Representative Josephson, Representative Colom, Representative Stapp, each of the folks who had an amendment that passed. I just want to make sure that we've characterized the amendments accurately, and just want to give you an opportunity, if you want to clarify anything about those amendments, to throw that out there so that we're all kind of on the same page here. Any comments? Okay, seeing none. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump right into the two technical amendments that we have. And so with that, I would move amendment number one to the CS for House Bill 223. And
I'll jump for the purpose of discussion.
Okay, thank you. We have an objection. Mr. Anderson, could you please? And we also have Ledge Legal online to help with explaining these if needed. So with that, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So amendment number one is a clarifying amendment. The legislative legal, while listening to the debate on the original amendment regarding the sunset of these royalty discounts, it was made, they felt they needed clarification on the actual intent, which was the entity pursuing the royalty discount would have 10 years to receive it and then 10 years to then utilize that discount by the amendment. And so those dates would be production would have to happen between July 1st, 2024 and extend to January 1st, 2035. And then the expiration of the utilization of that 3% would then expire January 1st, 2045. And that is, in brief, the summary of what Amendment Number 1 would clarify.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to do a check-in with Ms. Emily Nauman, Ledge Legal, online, just to see if she's got any comments before we go to the committee. Ms. Nauman, can you put yourself on the record?
For the record, this is Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services. I have no comments. Brody explained the amendment well. From my perspective, it was just clarifying the intent of the committee.
Okay, thank you. And Representative Josephson?
I think I know the answer, but just to be clear, through the chair, Ms. Nauman, if someone qualified for new gas and let's say they qualified in a year, they would get 10 years of that benefit, assuming it's productive, et cetera. So that would be, say, 2035, and then their benefit would be suspended and they'd go back to regular royalty. And at the same time, someone could come into production in, say, a different company in, say, 2034, and they could run till 2044, for example. Is that right?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, and again, this is Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services. Yes, that's correct. The benefit runs for 10 years as long as it starts in that July 1st, 2024 to July 1st, 2030, January 1st, 2035 window. Say it started in 2030, the benefit would last until 2040. The page 1, line 15 change to 2045 there is the date that the statutes go away. So that's a cleanup at the last possible day that someone could take the royalty reduction.
Okay, any further questions on amendment number 1? Representative Galvin?
Thank you, through the chair. Through co-chair Foster, I think this is a question for Ms. Nyman as well. I'm just wanting clarity again on the page 2 of the amendment. I know we had discussed this language about whether or not it would be 6 months or a year prior and whether it had lapsed. I just want to ask for you to clarify that again, that what if a project is turns off its nozzle 6 months prior and then back on? Does that make it qualify? I just want to, if you could clarify that.
Ms. Nauman?
Again, for the record, this is Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services, through the chair to Representative Galvin. I believe that it was the Department of Natural Resources that spoke to that issue during the last committee hearing on this bill, but if you're referring to the language in the existing bill on page 2, lines 12 and 13, and does it also appear down below? Or you're speaking to the second amendment.
It's amendment 2. You're correct. I apologize. Yes. I can wait for that. Thank you for that answer.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Representative Josephson?
Through the chair, Ms. Nauman,
We suspended parts of what was called the Cook Inlet Renaissance, and we did that through particular House Bill 247 as to the Cook Inlet. Let's say it's 10 years from now and 90% of us are retired or not here. There's new legislators. And we either have a ton of clean energy or a ton of new production in the Cook Inlet. So we're wildly successful all over the map on energy production. Could the legislature undo this bill effectively and say, notwithstanding the expectations created in this bill, the future legislature wants to suspend its terms?
For the record, this is Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services, through the chair to Representative Josephson. This is a tricky question to answer. By my understanding, royalty rates are locked in by contract, and under certain circumstances, a change in the law can't change the terms of those contracts. In my discussion with DNR related to this bill, they indicated to me they did have some authority to change those rates. It would probably depend on the language of each individual lease contract to know, but there is the potential that if the state relied on these rates and entered into locked royalty rate contracts, that a change in the law subsequently couldn't cause a change in that contracted rate.
Okay, any further questions on amendment number one? Seeing none, is the objection maintained?
I remove my objection.
Okay. Representative Josephson?
Yes, just briefly. We just need to be wide-eyed about what we're doing, Mr. Chairman. So very rough-cut math. Royalty right now, and I know this is about new gas, not old gas, but royalty right now pays this building, essentially, $40 million a year just from Cook Inlet. So let's say we double that because this is so amazingly successful. Well, we're cutting the doubling by 75%. So my simple math suggests we would take 10 million royalty, not 40 million on the new gas. All right. Now these are hypotheticals, but that's a loss of 30 million times 20 years. Now it won't all be 20 years. Well, that's $600 million spanning the term of this. So could that, what I just described, theoretically happen? It could. It's not particularly likely. But and now we're hearing we can't undo that very easily. So I just want to be a, you know, what I've just described is like a 5 or 10% chance, probably. But we just should be aware of it. Thank you, and I'll remove my objection.
The objection is removed. Any further objections on amendment number one? Okay, seeing no objections, amendment number one has been adopted. Also, I'd like to note that we do have the sponsor of the bill, Representative Rauscher, in the room as well. So if anyone has any questions as we move through this. So with that, I will move amendment number two. Do we have an objection?
Check for the purpose of discussion.
Thank you. And Mr. Anderson, if you could explain technical amendment number two.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, once again, Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Neil Foster. Amendment number two is a clarifying amendment because of the way amendments moved on May 2nd. We have an order of events that legislative legal felt that should be brought back to the attention of the committee to find out the actual purpose of or the intention of the committee. Amendment number six, which in a very, very anecdotal synopsis was removing all oil from oil references of Cook Inlet oil from the bill. Amendment number six passed in the first iteration. Then we fast forward to amendment number 11, which was Representative Colomb's. At that point, oil had been removed from the bill according to a previous amendment. So the representative entertained a conceptual amendment to delete the portion of her amendment that referenced that oil portion since it no longer existed in the bill moving forward. We fast forward a little bit farther in the committee, and the committee rescinded action on amendment number six, and then that amendment number six failed. So oil again, Cook Inlet oil once again returned to the bill. the committee never double backed around to amendment number 11 to discuss whether or not they wanted to rescind action on the oil portion of Representative Colomb's amendment. And so legislative legal felt that it should be at least brought back to the attention of the committee that you revisit that portion of that amendment, because the intention was to remove it only because oil had been removed and it was back. So the amendment number 2 basically takes line 7 through 11 and offers it again as an amendment, just to make sure the intention of the committee was to actually remove that portion of the oil. And I will try to briefly summarize what the department would say about that portion, and then I know they are available in the room along with Emily, Director Nauman. The amendment revises the second way, the three ways oil could qualify as new to get the royalty reduction, to more thoroughly reflect the intent of the bill to drive new production in Cook Inlet. The amendment removes the 2024 restriction, as some production could go offline in 2025 or later. And it also includes sideboards, so that the field must be offline for at least 6 months, referring to what Representative Galvin might be referring to avoid operators gaming the system out. That is a very brief synopsis from my point of view, and the committee might want to ask for clarifying intent from DNR.
I thought that was a pretty good explanation, but we'll check in with Ms. Emily Nauman.
Again, for the record, this is Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services. Yep, Bro did an excellent job of summarizing the history and the effect of the amendment.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the committee? Representative Hannon?
Thank you, Chair Foster. Brody or Ms. Nauman, is it your understanding, if we take that date out, then do they have a full 10-year period at which, if they stop producing and then start, they get the royalty relief?
Through the chair, Representative, I would defer to the department or Ms. Nauman on that.
I don't show on my list here who with the department is here. Is that okay? If you could please come up and put yourself on the record. Is it Mr. Nottingham? Do I have that right? Okay. Put yourself on the record.
Yeah, for the record, I'm Derek Nottingham, the director of the Division of Oil and Gas. And yes, it's my understanding that if that data is removed, then any field that would go offline and then because of economic reasons and then receive the royalty benefit and come back online would be able to receive that royalty benefit until 2035, the expiration of the program.
Representative Hannon?
I guess that bothers me. Most of our discussion around this bill was incentivizing for some immediate action. And now we're saying, if any time in the next 10 years your economics change and you stop producing for a year, you can still come back on and get a 10-year royalty relief. And I don't, to me, the royalty, giving up that royalty is a really big deal. We're doing it, reducing it significantly to incentivize a fairly immediate crisis that's happening. But if it doesn't happen, you know, if we don't get some relief and new production of oil and gas out of Cook Inlet in the next 5 to 7 years, there will be some other solution. And to create sort of a loophole that says, well, if in the next 5 to 7 years you stop producing and then come back on, I don't mind moving the date to 2025, maybe to 2026, but to give the whole 20-year window based on shutting it down any time during that, to me, is not what we were after in that royalty reduction, trying to incentivize something in the fairly near future. So I'm uncomfortable just doing away with the date and leaving it open for that 20-year period.
I'd like to invite Commissioner Boyle up to the table, just in case we have any questions for you, Mr. Commissioner Boyle. feel free to pop on up there. Representative Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Coach Foster. I guess through the chair, Representative Hannah, I'm trying to struggle to understand the analogy. So are you saying that you are afraid that an oil and gas company would sink millions in CapEx and OpEx in a well and then basically freeze production, fire everybody, and then wait for the price to change and then re-inject that millions of dollars in capital and hire everybody back and then keep doing that over and over?
Representative Pendon?
I'm not saying in sinking new millions because this just says something that you've stopped producing for 6 months and then you start, if the commissioner says you've restarted, then you get that. So you didn't actually have to lay everybody off or invest millions new. But we're giving them a 20-year window to do that. And when we were crafting this relief, it was around trying to incentivize doing this pretty quickly, and I guess that's in the next 10 years for another 10 years. And to me, this is a more permanent change to the royalty of oil in Cook Inlet, and I didn't think that was what we were doing.
Before I go to Representative Galvin, I just want to check in with Commissioner Boyle. We might have come in halfway through this, but I just wanted to see if you had any comments. And if not, we can go to the next question.
We can go to the next question.
Okay, Representative Galvin.
Thank you, through the chair. I'd just like to remind this committee that we made all of this, all of these amendments in one night, late into the night, without any outside advisory. We did get to hear from the department. I'm grateful for that. Thank you. We also got to hear from individual companies who were advocating for their own needs. We did not get to hear from anyone with regard to modeling, anyone to know whether or not Representative Stapp's potential scenario could or could not happen. I'm concerned about this because these are very long-term decisions now that we've made. I tried to put in some amendments so that it would lessen the amount of time that we're having these important incentives. But now we're looking at more and more extension, and I appreciate where we're at here because this has already been voted on, but I do want to put on public record that we have not gone through process that would normally happen in these very big decisions. And I'm worried about funding other important things that I know that Alaskans care about. So I want to make sure that we walk that line very carefully of incentivizing important gas, important oil, but at the same time ensure that we are able to pay for our other costs. Thank you.
Representative Stapp, did you have a question, comment? No. Commissioner Boyle, this might be a good time for you to jump in.
Well, good morning, Co-Chair Foster and honorable members of the House Finance Committee. For the record, this is John Boyle, Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, for the record. And I apologize for coming in halfway midstream, trying to split my time here between two dueling committees this morning. If there's just having heard just the tail end, I believe, of Representative Hannon's questions and concerns, I don't know that the department would be opposed if the window of previously produced oil was potentially lengthened, let's just say, to a year. Because to maybe getting back to Representative Stapp's question, I mean, companies, if a well has been offline for a year, it's safe to say that there's not an economic case for that well. Companies don't sink that level of investment and spend all that effort drilling wells in order for them to sit idle for a year and to try to game the system. I mean, I just don't know that the likelihood of that is very high. I think the department has a good sense for when wells are shut in, for what reasons. And so if a year makes the committee feel more comfortable that this is, that we're sure that the reason that the well has been shut in is because of economic reasons, the department wouldn't necessarily oppose that length of time, if that's where the committee has decided it'd like to go.
So we are on amendment number two. And if there were a conceptual amendment, this would be the appropriate time.
Mr. Co-Chair Foster, I'd like to make a conceptual amendment striking the 6 months on line four and five, last word, and replacing that with 1 year. And that's what I move.
Okay. And do we have any objections? Hearing no objections, conceptual amendment number one. Conceptual amendment number one to amendment number two to CS for House Bill 223 have been adopted. Representative Nauman, or I'm sorry, Ms. Nauman?
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I'm wondering if the committee also wants to consider changing that 6 month range related to gas specifically, which appears on page two, line 13 of the bill.
And if we could maybe get Commissioner Boyle's thoughts on that.
Yeah, Representative Foster, through the chair, just one moment, please.
Mm-hmm. Brief it is. Okay, House Finance back on record, 9:43 a.m. on Friday, May 10th. Commissioner Boyle.
And Representative Foster, thanks for that question. When it comes, gas and oil can have different economics. Again, I think the idea is here just to incentivize new gas. There could be reasons why gas wells are shut in. If the committee feels more comfortable extending that period of time to a year, I don't think the department has any significant heartburn over that. If they feel that it's better to conform the two, I think 6 months is maybe slightly more generous when it comes to gas, which, again, if the intent is to incentivize new gas, if you're more generous, then hopefully you're going to see better results when it comes to producing more gas. But again, we'll leave it up to the committee in terms of what policy direction they feel most comfortable with there.
Okay, thank you. We're going to have a question from Representative Galvin. And also we'll need to think about, we'll see if there's a conceptual amendment for that first, and then we'll get into the process in which we do that. Representative Galvin?
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. This, again, is a great question for an advisor who has seen these fields for years, understands Alaska, understands Cook Inlet, and would know how to answer the difference between Cook Inlet oil versus gas fields, what's happened over the history, what could happen, etc. So again, I'm making my plug for a bit more understanding about these very major decisions before voting on these. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Benjamin?
Yes, I am. I don't know if it's called good fortune, but I streamed the Senate Resources hearing while Gaffney Klein came up and talked about Senate Bill 294. My concerns and with respect to the comments from Representative Galvin, which I aligned with during the last hearing last week, have been somewhat assuaged in terms of the expedited fashion this is going through. It's not to say that I don't support a zero relief, that's for sure, but I support some relief. And I feel after Gaffney Klein's sort of late entrance into this discussion, giving the best perspective they can, obviously sort of comparing what's happening on the global arena to what the department's been doing, living and breathing this every day. But I think there's a middle ground in there. So my concerns have been, again, somewhat assuaged, and I think that this bill needs to go forward.
Yeah, thank you. We've got Representative Ortiz and then Cologne.
Very briefly, I did raise similar concerns earlier on in the process of looking at this bill that Rep. Galvin has raised. It's good to hear that the co-chair has had some of his concerns that he shared as well assuaged. It's good to know that from my perspective as well. My concern, I guess I can hold it till we're talking about moving the bill or not moving the bill, rather than this particular amendment, so I guess I can hold off on that. But I just wanted to chime in that I have those concerns. I mean, but I'll talk more about that when I talk about the broader bills. Thank you.
Representative Klum. Okay. So that takes us back to the question of whether or not we want to adjust the gas side of this. And if not, then we'll go ahead and move on the amendments. I'm not hearing any conceptual amendments. So with that, is there any objection to adopting, is there further objection to adopting amendment number 2 as amended? Or
I can object.
Okay, we do have an objection. So again, the amendment before us was to extend it by 6 months. That was amended to a year. Some folks may not want to have that in there. The prior version of this did not have a number in there like that, the calendar year. So anyway, just wanted to kind of summarize what we're voting on. And we have an objection. And Madam Clerk, if you could please call the roll on amendment number 2 as amended.
Representative Josephson.
No.
Representative Ortiz.
No.
Representative Stapp.
Yes.
Representative Tomaszewski.
Yes.
Representative Hannon.
No.
Representative Kronk.
Yes.
Representative Galvin.
Pass.
Representative Colomb.
Yes.
Representative Galvin. Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
8 yea, 3 nay.
And so in a vote of 8 yea to 3 nay, amendment number 2, which has been amended to the committee substitute for House Bill 223, has been adopted. So that takes us through the entirety of the amendments. And Mr. Anderson, am I forgetting anything before I move to the overall bill? We'll go to questions and the bill itself, but anything else that we need to cover?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, the committee can proceed at its will.
Great, thank you. Okay, so Representative Stapp.
I have no questions. I'm just looking to move the bill, Mr. Co-Chair.
Okay, let me just do a check-in and see if anyone has any comments. I think Representative Ortiz, you said you wanted to speak to the bill overall. Representative Ortiz?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill comes before us for a very good reason. I'm very much aware, particularly over the last, since we've had this start of this particular year session, of the issues in Cook Inlet in terms of trying to provide a more dependable supply of natural gas to deal with their very real energy problems, or at least energy problems are likely to develop in the future unless something's done. So with that said, I really want to be supportive of this particular bill. However, at the same time, this committee is very much aware that we will have revenue challenges. That's been made very clear from the beginning of this particular session. In the future, our revenue is not looking that good. And yet we're still going to have the same demands for a broad array of things, including education, biggest PFD as possible, all those things that are important to many members of this particular committee. So as we move forward with this particular bill and any other type of bill where we're considering giving up revenue, we need to think about that, folks, because the demand for revenue is not going to go away in the future. It is also true, however, that the need to make sure that Cook Inlet, the people of Cook Inlet in that area, have access to enough energy to heat their homes. I get that. And so it's a fine line. But I just want to make sure everybody's clear, remind everybody, because this committee, from the very beginning of the session, when we got a look at our fiscal situation, we were told quite clearly that the future for revenue for the state is not that bright. And of course, it is also true that we're not talking about revenue from anything unless there's actually production, which is what we're trying to put forward here with trying to encourage with this particular bill. So that's true as well. It's kind of like a catch-22 here. Because I can just hear next year's budget forecast, and you know, we're going to be here, and we're going to be trying to, for those of us who come back, we're going to be trying to do the best we can at meeting everybody's demands. And by us dropping to a 3% share of royalties, you know, that's a pretty big drop. And you have to remember also that investors, they're not dropping theirs. They're going to get their royalty share. That's going to stay the same. So it's the state of Alaska that's doing the big subsidy here by dropping it to that level. So anyway, that's all I have to say. I'm not sure where I'm going to be on this particular bill. I'm probably going to let it go out of the committee without objection. But on the floor, I'm going to have a hard time supporting the bill. Thank you.
Okay, I've got Representative Josephson and then Galvin. I'm sorry, I've got Representative Hannon, Josephson, and Galvin. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Chair Foster. Representative Ortiz has touched on what my primary concern. We want to incentivize gas and resolve South Central's impending crisis, but that's a pretty near short-term problem. It's got to be resolved. So if the royalty relief on gas doesn't resolve it, there'll be some other solutions, and I hate to invoke the import, but something will resolve it in the next 5 to 7 years. My concerns largely lay with the oil portions of this royalty relief that doesn't seem to produce that, and knowing that it's our oldest oil infrastructure in the state, that Cook Inlet has a lot of shut-in oil facilities that should have been cleaned up. But in essence, we've created another 20-year extension on saying maybe someday I'll come back to that rusty old platform and re-drill there. So I'm going to leave it. And we've de-incentivized doing that because we've created a long-term window to say, I'm going to keep looking at that. And we're going to lose revenue. But if that solves an energy crisis, that's a good trade-off. But I don't want us to be stuck with, we've got another 20 years of rusting infrastructure that no one's using, but because we've created a royalty incentive, we've created a way to say, I can just sit here for another 20 years and I'm not drilling on it, but maybe someday I will. And I have some revenue concerns, so I'm not sure where I'll be on the bill on the floor.
Okay, Representative Josephson.
Well, I thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the record should be clear because the mood may sound like the committee is recalcitrant and unhelpful in some way. But the governor's bill called for 5% royalty. And this committee said, Governor, you're not generous enough. We need 3% royalty. So that's sort of the facts. And the administration said 0 to 5% last week would have been satisfactory. We said fooey on the 4 and 5%. We're going with 3%. So this is an aggressive bill that is supportive of resource development when it comes to gas. The argument we heard, and it was the case was without merit. The commissioner talked about how oil is an enticer for gas. Well, if it's an enticer, it's because it's profitable. And we're giving away oil royalty now. And that wasn't part of the bargain for me. It was about gas. I understand there's linkage. But we've now given oil royalty relief for all fields south of 68 degrees north latitude for up to 20 years. As Representative Galvin said, I don't know that we know what the modeling of that looks like. We know that there's about 9,000 barrels produced a day, so it's not huge. But we also, if we think it's going to be productive, it could get more substantial. So I have concerns about that part. But as Representative Ortiz said, I'm certainly not going to object at this stage to the bill. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to Representative Galvin. Also, I'd like to invite up Representative Rauscher, sponsor of the bill, in case he's got any comments before we move, Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Representative. Through the chair, I too am concerned about some of the details. We don't know how much revenue we're giving up, and we don't know how much gas we're going to get for giving up the revenue. We can't ever know that exactly, right? This is always a guessing game. It's a guessing game anytime you put a hole in the ground. I understand that, but there are experts who could give us some sense of where we're at. And to that point, I want to thank Co-Chair Edgman for sharing his interpretation of what he saw earlier this morning. Apparently yesterday had a great Senate Resources hearing. That makes sense. We should maybe be all watching that. In fact, I will go and watch that before it gets to the floor. I will do my homework. But as of now, I'm not sure that this body has done its homework as we're making some pretty serious decisions. Again, I do appreciate hearing what we heard from Representative Josephson, that this move, this dial moved from 5% to 3%. Do any of us know what we're giving up or getting for that, or even have a sense of that? We changed the dates significantly. So we're giving up dollars and for a longer period of time. We don't know what that really means to our revenue. We do know that we have to keep our homes warm. So we are definitely in that place of urgency where I'm going to vote yes, of course. But I'm also going to stand up for making sure that our process is right and make sure that we understand what we're voting on, because I think that's my job. I thank you for, I understand we have a bazillion bills to go through, so I'll be quiet now, but I did want to put that on record that, you know, I hope that we continue to do our homework before the floor vote. Thank you.
Representative Benjamin?
Yeah, just a quick comment that we have been at a disadvantage in this committee, and it's not the fault of the committee. I don't think it's the fault of the department. If there's any sort of fault out there to be applied, it's the fact that we haven't brought consultants on earlier to advise us. And there was an issue with Gaffney and Klein, of course, working with the governor in consultation with Black and Veatch. And now that all got straightened out. Gaffney and Klein is now in the picture. Unfortunately, not timely enough to bring before this committee to help sort out all of these hypotheticals, because no one knows for sure what's going to happen. Very, very marginal prospects in Cook Inlet. Very high risk at the front end. On the downside, this bill would provide some relief. But I guess I'd close by saying that one thing I think is unique, I'm sort of looking at the commissioner to nod his head, is that the fact that the Cook Inlet Basin supports a good part of Alaska's economy, or has for how many years now, that's pretty unique around the world. All these other sort of gas plays and fields and basins don't have that interrelationship that we're talking about here. So there's a sense of something's maybe a little bit different than sort of other models around the globe. But I think some relief is in order. And I'm not going to oppose the bill. I'm going to vote yes to move it out. I've got some trepidation with the reserve-based lending aspect. I need to learn more about that. The 3%, I think, might be a little bit generous at this point as well. But I think the bill is going in the right direction overall. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you for allowing me to comment.
Okay. I'd like to get Representative Cronk.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Co-Chair. The risk for doing nothing is real. I mean, we've been thrust in this position. This issue has been going on way before I joined the legislature. And I think I said it the other day, we are up here that we wait until there's a crisis before we do something. And then we're going to, I don't understand why anybody, especially if you live in South Central, would be doing anything to stop this. I'm confused at that, but I think, you know, listening to Representative Ortiz's comments, we have eliminated every revenue thing in our state. No more timber. We oppose any mining, and this is where we're at. I am affected by this a little bit because our PCA rates do, you know, are from the rail bill, but there's some parts of me that just say, wow, okay, I'm just going to oppose everything because – but I can't do that because I have friends that live in South Central, and it's the driver of our state. Most people live there. This affects them. Zero royalty, royalty from zero, still zero. So I'll leave it with that.
Okay, any further questions before we go to the sponsor? Representative Staff?
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I just think maybe there's a lot of complexity in this bill, but conceptually it's actually relatively simple, right? So 12.5% of zero is actually zero, right? So we're talking about new production from existing fields that we have identified, oil and gas assets in Cook Inlet that have yet to be produced. As far as the loss of revenue goes, I mean, if you're looking at the math in totality from the total amount of royalties that the state gets from Cook Inlet oil and gas, it's probably more like $4 million a year. That would probably be my guess on as far as how bad it would be, because you would only be taking a royalty out of new production, right? It's not currently online. But that's also money that you are currently not getting anyways. As far as expanding to Middle Earth, I mean, we heard from the department that there's actually no production on state lands in that entire region. I don't even think there's exploration. So again, if going to 3% means you get a project, okay, that's probably better than having nothing. We've had nothing in that region. You know, it sounds great to say we're going to have oil production in Middle Earth, but I mean, in reality, it's fairly barren up there in terms of prospects. I'm like echo the comments of Co-Chair Edgman. I'm not entirely sure some of these provisions are going to be as effective at incentivizing production as people think they are. And as an interior person, we have a lot of historic, let's call it, animosity to subsidizing Cook Inlet gas. But I want to be a good team player for Alaska, and I want to make sure that folks in South Central have some sort of pathway that just doesn't lock them into a climate of exponential forever long-term imports of LNG to the state. I think that would be bad for Alaska to be on LNG imports. I think the people of this state would not be very happy with the legislature if that's end up where we go. So that's all I have to say. Thank you, Co-Chair Foster.
Okay, thank you. So with that, we'll go to the sponsor, Representative Rauscher. Any comments before we entertain a motion?
Thank you, Chair Foster and committee here. I appreciate the time that you took to look into this bill. The gravity of it, I know, is very heavy. I understand where all of the arguments are coming from. And I believe when we put this together, the governor put together a piece of legislation that looked very similar when I put mine together. We melded a lot of the parts of each one together, and you guys have vetted through that. You've gone through the maze, and I really appreciate the time, the effort that you took. I think that I can hark some of the comments that 3% of nothing is nothing, and 3% of something is better than 3% of nothing, right? So all I can say is we have to do something. We know the graphs are showing we're running out of gas. We're running out of available gas in the inlet. And this is something that we can try. And I believe there is incentives that will happen. 12 years ago, we were here. We did this. And it worked for another 10 or 12 years. So here, I believe that this is also a good step for now. Appreciate the time you took. And I hope you pass it out of committee. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. So with that, I would entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 22333-LS0886/H as amended out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay, is there an objection? I will object. Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Representative Ortiz.
No.
Representative Stapp.
Yes.
Representative Hannon.
No.
Representative Cologne.
Yes.
Representative Kronk.
Yes.
Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Tomaszewski. Yes. Representative Josephson. Yes. Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
8 yea, 3 nay.
And so on a vote of 8 yea to 3 nay, House Bill 223 which is 33-LS0886/H, moves as amended out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. If folks can be sure to stay and sign the committee reports, we do have to recess here, and so we'll be back whenever we get holes in the floor. So with that, House Finance will stand recessed at 10:07 a.m.